Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rock That Relationship. We are here talking all about past life relationships and kind of exploring the dynamics, particularly between Tracy and I, see what kind of connections we've had. And we're meeting with various people who can help us sort of walk through that. So today we're here today with Marv Matura, practicing psychic, tarot card expert, teacher, performing musician, singer-songwriter, and really works with media, all sorts of things, studying media. We've just been having a fascinating conversation. And so we're going to talk with Marv all about kind of, you know, this idea, particularly focusing on like tarot cards and how the cards might help us understand any kind of past life connections and moving forward and understanding kind of future paths and those kinds of things. So Marv, welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you today.
Thank you very much, Corey. Glad to be.
We're so glad you're here because looking forward to this insight. Maybe you could start by just telling us a little bit about yourself, your background, particularly in the metaphysical realm here. Like you say you're practicing, you know, psychic and tarot reader. How did you get into this work?
That's a good question. It was like many people in the year 2020, that when the COVID epidemic came, a change occurred in many people's lives, including mine. As a practicing musician, there was no place to play during the lockdowns. The only place to play, like in my local area, was at the market, at the Vernon, you know, farmer's market. They would allow us to play and put out the case and busk, you know, and when you're a musician, you have to perform. It's sort of like a thing you just don't want to leave behind no matter what happens. And so I was there one day, and they'd let us play for 2 hours. And at the end of my 2 hours, I was looking around the market. I thought, geez, you know, maybe I could read some cards here and make a little extra money. I've always had psychic abilities and an interest in metaphysics. And so reading cards and doing other sort of metaphysical work was reserved for a hobby, more friends and family at parties and things like that. They'd say, Marv, come on and read my cards. And I would, you know. And but then I thought, well, maybe I can take it to another level. And once that idea came to me, it just never left me. I thought, I want to do this, you know. Mm. And so then I started getting more into it, and I realized I'd like to fill up more of my knowledge. And so I started researching more about the tarot cards and divination with them, and wound up writing a book about it, which is right here. Anyway, yeah, there it is. And doing it full time, I eventually got the tent, and I got all that required to get onto doing tarot card reading at the farmer's market. So that's where it started. And once I started reading cards at the tarot market, or rather at the at the farmer's market, and I started going to different events through interior British Columbia where I live, and it blossomed from there. People started calling me for parties and so to where I am now, it's at least half of my life, a good half of my income comes from working with the tarot cards and helping people forward with their questions. Just loving it. I'm working on another book, probably two more books that I have in me I need to get finished on this, and I'm not sure where it's going to lead, but it's led us together here. So
wow,
great. So that's what happened with me. At a very young age, I realized my psychic abilities. I thought everybody could astral travel when I was a little boy. You know, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do that. And my grandfather on my mother's side was a psychic, but he didn't, again, it was something that he did just for friends and family. In the Ukrainian culture, which I'm from, and both my parents on both sides were immigrants to Canada who couldn't speak English before they started school, for example. So it was very close to the old country and the old ways, and they were very much still part of that, say, older religion, which Slavic people practice. My grandfather was known in his community as the water witch. There's no real, there's a term for it in Ukrainian, but that's the best translation you can get for it, where he would find water for all the people in the neighborhood and help with various parts of life, you know, different things he would, health-wise mostly, but also cleanse spirits and things like that. And he was I was lucky enough to know him really well and spend a lot of time with him. And for him, it was just a part of life. He didn't think it was anything special, but he would, for example, he showed me when I was quite young, how he did it to find water, just to sort of test, I guess, psychic ability. So you take a willow stick and you walk, and he showed me what to do, how to do this, concentrate. And, you know, like when I felt that first, when I felt the willow stick, I couldn't hold it in my hand anymore. I couldn't, no matter what I did, that stick was twisting. It was so much power, so much force downward. And he says, you've got the energy in you. And sort of from there, I guess everything's sort of stumbled that way and it made sense in my life. I remember my brother and sister, they both were trying it, but the stick wouldn't move for them. And so I feel very much that the tarot cards are similar to that. When I read tarot cards, not everybody can read them or feel them the same way, but you're tying into the divine energy of the astral plane and the energy, like say water underground, like that was magic to find that. How does that work? But it's all part of that same magic. And when you pull cards and with the right intention, and I guess with your knowledge, I guess, of what the tarot cards mean, magic happens, and the future can be foretold, and the past can be looked into pretty much similarly, I guess. It comes to me like the water pulling down of the stick. I see it in my head as images.
Let me ask you a question about the tarot cards. So I've done tarot cards. Corey's done them. I've done them a couple times in my life, and they've always been accurate, right? And so you say to predict the future and also to explain the past, like, what is the point of, if people are like, I'm not going to go to a tarot card reader, like, or they think it's stupid or whatever, they think it's hocus pocus, like, what are you seeing, or what is the purpose of the cards rather than just, like, sitting with someone and telling them what you see?
Okay, well, that's a good question, too. The tarot cards are an ancient book of 78 pages, if I can, the way I see it. I think they precede the European era by a long shot. And they come to us through the Egyptian culture and probably of the pre-culture of the Egyptian culture, the global culture that existed, that includes the Mayans and all the pyramid cultures throughout the world that are spread around. I recently made friends with a Mayan tarot card reader. She doesn't read the European cards. In their culture, they have a similar deck of cards. And it, like one of the things that really struck me was there's 22 cards in the spiritual part of the deck, the major arcana, as it's called, 22 letters in the Jewish alphabet. And in the Mayan card is the same number, 22. Like the coincidences sort of line up. That they had a similar thing. Why is this so important? It's not to read the future, but it's a book about human nature. If you want to learn about human nature, read all the Shakespeare plays and or study the tarot cards. And that's why this works as such a great divination tools, because there's not too much about the human experience that is not covered in the tarot cards. And it's covered in a visual way. It's not a textual way, so that the numerology and astrology and the connections between the cards is so deep. It's been a fascinating study for me to delve myself as a student of human nature, to know that this deck is so ancient and so rich with knowledge about what it means to be human. So when you're taking the tarot deck and just shuffling it and putting your vibrations, and if you do it the right way and things are working there, that, you know, the card that you pull at that time will be the card that you need to know right now at that point about your human nature. Yeah. And so that, because there's so, this covers the human experience, that's why it can work so well as a divination tool. Far more rich than, say, tea leaves, which works the way. Or, like, a lot of people use angel cards now, which is a very similar type thing. It's just the angel cards are very much less rich in terms of historical and vibrational knowledge about the nature, what it means to be human. And they're very good. I don't say there's right. A lot of my friends, they use angel cards to divination, for divination. But for me, I think they're very limiting, because if you, do you guys know what angel cards are, by the way?
Are you talking about like the angel numbers and stuff, or is that different?
Angel cards, so they're just like, they're divination decks. So you pull out a card, like, and then it tells you something about whatever it might be, like, I don't know, you're tired and you're feeling this way, and that card typically speaks to you at that time for that particular whatever question you're asking it. Yeah. So
yeah, I'm seeing those. Are those different than oracle cards, or because I've heard
similar? Yeah, they are.
It's kind of the same.
But they spell it out for you when you draw the card. It's like it's written down for you.
Yes.
Called the psychic part. Just involves that connection, the vibrational connection with the card and what you need to hear. And a lot of people use them because it's hard, let's face it, it's hard to memorize this deck. People can't do it all. And again, when you study it really deeply, each card has so many various meanings. And when you put them together, there's all those other meanings. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting.
If I can just go to my book here, the tarot, I use this, the five card pentagram tarot, which is a self-help book about for people. So if you don't need to know all about the tarot cards to use this book, you set out the card that you want to put out. And I only use one type of a layout, because there's so many different layouts in the tarot, right? But the five card pentagram layout draws one card from each part of the tarot deck. So your spirit, your money, your emotions, your mind, and your health. And when you lay it out, and then you can look it up what the tarot card means for you. There's a short essay on each tarot card. So if you pull the Two of Cups, you can look up here in my book and read that, what that means for you at that time. And typically it connects with what you want to know. So this is just like, say, taking the tarot cards and like putting it in an oracle way, where the on the back side of the card is basically an essay somewhat like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the different cards. So it works. And I know people who do tarot cards readings with each other, with my book, because they don't know what all the various meanings of the tarot cards, but it's not as rich as in depth, a real psychic reading, because a psychic can see beyond those meanings, let's say, in other ways, like in the dynamic of real time human vibrations. And it doesn't seem to matter whether you're in front of me or you're doing it, like we're going to do this from a distance, because in the astral plane, the distance doesn't matter the same as this particular plane that we're in. Yeah,
that's interesting. So with tarot, I know that when I've ever had tarot done, it's always kind of, I come in because I'm stuck at a crossroads and I ask a question, and then that usually gives me sort of a path forward. But I've also talked to people who have used tarot to better understand past lives and soul connections and things that are a little bit deeper than just here's kind of your future prediction. What is your experience with that? Or what is your take on like tarot and past lives?
Yes, you can use the tarot to investigate past lives and how your past is affecting your future. It's another technique that's available with the tarot cards. You can see into the future, the past, and the present, and you can see into other people's lives. Yeah,
is that more of a psychic thing, or does that, can you just get that from like the cards itself?
Both. It's a combination of the psychic and the cards. The cards suggest the psychic vision.
Well, yeah. That's the thing. I've done I have tarot card decks at home, and I've done it a little bit myself. And I was working with an astrologer who we've had on a couple times, Bethany, and she was like, okay, do your cards at home. And whenever she did my cards, they were so accurate, right? And when Corey and I went somewhere, that person was super accurate. And then when I do it at home, I'm not getting the same, right? Like, why is that?
I'd again return to my grandfather's experience and finding water underground. You can hold the stick, but if it doesn't flow through you, the stick doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's the same thing. That's a lot of psychics, they don't let anybody touch their cards. It's like that's their vibration through it. So it's like me, I'm just the medium.
Right.
You know, not everybody has, psychic ability, but not everybody has it in that quantity that can pull the right card at the right time at that and then read it.
Like, well, do you think, like,
my grandfather, let's just use back the same. He would take the stick and walk along and he'd say, down here there's water, and he would tell you how deep it was and whether it was good water. Wow. He could do that, and he was accurate all the time. He'd say, down here, but you find water down, but it's not that good. It's kind of shallow.
Wow.
He'd say, this is a better place, you know, lots of oil.
And but like your siblings didn't have that, but you had it. Do you think it's because some people are more open, or just like maybe they're like not as, maybe you're an older soul or something like that? Like, do we know? Is there any theory on why some people can access that stuff more?
Well, the way my grandfather would explain it would be, you got to have the electricity.
You just have it.
You just either have it. But that's not to say you don't get better at it the more you use it. Like, I'm a far better psychic right now than I was when I started doing this professionally. I mean, I was good, but I wasn't as good as I am now, because I've been practicing it for 5 years professionally, 5-6 years now. Hmm. It's very simple. I'm also a musician, you know, and not everybody has music talent.
Right.
And it's in everybody. Everybody has it in them, but it's not everybody can actually put it into music. And again, similarly like that, you don't just play music. You have to practice it and you get better.
Right.
See, psychic ability is very similar to playing music. And there's a lot of musicians that are psychic. There's plenty of them. They kind of go together because especially songwriters, because songwriters are not necessarily creating songs. They're tuning into songs that are already there. I know the best songs that every songwriter would tell you that. It's not that they were just the channel that brought that song into the world.
Well, we've talked a lot about that on this podcast. Like, I have like a knowing, like a, you know, like I just know things. And then, but ever since Corey and I met, it's opened like all these doors to this kind of stuff, which then has made that stronger. Like, and I trust what I know now. Like, I felt all that stuff as a kid and then put it aside. Like, okay, whatever, right? This is fantasy. Like, I just grew up like in the middle of the Midwest thinking I lived in Paris, thinking like, or like, why wasn't I in Paris? Like, why wasn't I? Why wasn't I? And then Russia, and I had all these strong feelings, and it led me to do stuff in college. But it kind of like lost that like intuitiveness or knowing. And then it didn't come back until like just when I met her like 4 years ago. And now we're both like, unlocking all these things. Right.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of different past life readers myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been told that I was an Egyptian high priestess in another life. So that might have been passed down through that. I know it was passed down through my grandfather. It does tend to run in families. And it's those families that are closer to the old ways, because they just lived that way. They lived closer to life and death than we do.
Mm-hmm.
They killed their own food. They, you know, there's a difference when you live that way. When you go out, you have to, you know, that chicken is going to become your supper on Saturday. It's a different way of living. We've removed so far from those elemental forces.
Mm-hmm.
Sad. We don't feel like when you go to McDonald's and you get a hamburger, you're far removed from that big-eyed, beautiful lashed cow that gave its life so you can have that burger, and you don't respect that burger any at all. The energy that's in there, that is the sunshine, the life, the everything that that cow represented, the cat, beef, you know. So that's part of the problem, you know, in our daily life, we're kind of separated from.
We're
Remember?
separated from, and then we're bombarded by all this, like, it
Yeah,
seems like nonsense or noise, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, for me, my intuitive stuff, I just used to put up a block because it was just so much. Like, sometimes I get so much information that I didn't know what to do. And then it wasn't really until Tracy and I connected that I was like, this is, as long, if I can learn how to, like, receive it in ways that are healthy for me, it can be really useful. But it was coming in, I was picking up bad energy from people, I was just getting slammed with stuff. And so it's like, you know, as you're talking about, Marv, just this idea that we're so disconnected from things because part of it for me was like a survival tool, right? Because it was overwhelming.
That's interesting. Yeah. We are living in a time where mo people are moving to more psychic abilities, and there's a change happening as we speak. And you too are part of that change, as I can see it for sure. I don't know if you know of Edgar Cayce. Have you come across his work?
Someone mentioned him actually on one of our podcasts recently.
Oh,
I don't
man.
know if it's this season. Yeah.
Oh, you're
Well, tell us
right.
about him.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
don't remember anything about though
It
what we
has
talked.
it's on this season that we're recording.
Well,
It's CAYCE,
okay.
American
Yes, that's right.
Clairvoyant. Yeah.
Yeah,
Tell
he
us about him.
he is America's most famous psychic and
Huh.
well-documented psychic, because he did readings over 40 years that he had a secretary write down the whole shmoly, and it's an amazing collection of work. Anyway, one of the things that he saw that our current age, and it's happening, where people are into meditation, they're into spiritual awareness, they're not living their lives on fear and obedience. There's a change happening, and he saw it coming. And so that's what you're experiencing right now. And even in the Gospels, you know, they say at the end of times, everybody will prophesy. There'll be a time when people become very attuned to the higher powers that they didn't before. And I see that happening right now. And perhaps, like yourselves and even myself, I'm part of that change that's happening in the world, where people are putting meditation ahead of like financial gain and spiritual growth ahead of personal advancement.
I hope so. It seems to me there's like, it's like we're in a period of time which is two competing, super, super selfish sect, and then the other sect that's really trying to make the world a better place, you know? And
Yes,
it's like the spiritual people and then these false spiritual people who are literally causing pain to so many people.
it's a real battle out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting
Wow.
time to be alive, but it's not necessarily.
No.
It's a tough time to as well. Yeah, for sure. Right.
Yeah.
Are there, you know, I look at it like, you know, the changes that are happening are so gradual, but like if our children's children, let's say, they'll look back on our time as long as we survive it, and they'll look back on this time as a real transformational time of our humanity.
Wow.
We
Wow.
don't see it. We see it. We feel it, you know, but we're not feeling it like the same way that our children's children will just know it, because the changes are slow, and the established order is, we're just very reluctant to accept this. Like when changes happen, and this comes also through my media studies, the established powers will do everything to stop it. They will, and that's been proven through history. Again, when change happens, like let's use the example that we talked about earlier with the printing press. That was a fundamental media change in society, because whoever controls the media, the information, controls society. And all of a sudden, the priestcraft and the scribes, and they didn't have that same control over the people. And then you had the 50-year war in Europe. It takes time, but gradually everything changed, and the established powers lost their powers, and new powers came up and took over.
Well, it's so interesting. We were talking about that before, and you said you have a podcast called
Matura,
which on your last, on what?
McLuhan, Matura,
McLuhan.
Marshall McLuhan, the father of understanding media.
Until you had said that, I didn't even ever connect the two things. Like when you said that media, like, cause I was saying how, you know, social media and like the news media basically has changed the dynamic in the United States so much that we could be on the brink of literally civil, like unrest, disaster, maybe civil war. Well, and then you said the printing press, right, brought up something. And
well, it's the same, similar, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So interesting. Like, I never thought of it that way. I just thought we're degrading as a society and falling down a black hole. But I guess society goes through these big
Yeah, it does. It's, the changes are very difficult, especially mm-hmm. for the established powers.
Mm-hmm.
They'll really fight the changes. And but they... It's you could see, like, for example, just to use one example, there would be no Trump without Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't mm-hmm. have power unless that change happened. Mm-hmm. And then what happened when as soon as he found that power, the established powers raced in there as fast as they could to get him off there, and they tried to save their institutions like the traditional media. They're doing everything they can to silence, even to the point of trying to assassinate him, but they put him through court, all these kind of things. Very similar to other kind of changes in society. They excommunicated Martin Luther when he wrote the Bible in the printing press and started selling, telling people a different medium. But without the printing press, there'd be no Protestant religion. There wouldn't have been that. Anyway,
do you think these things happen in society to like shake us up, or do you think, like, I mean, because a lot of people do suffer through, right? A lot of people, I can't stand when people say everything will be fine. No, it won't. Like
no,
for a lot of people, it won't.
It changes everything. Yeah, mm-hmm. it changes everything. Everything about, well, Marshall McLuhan used to say, trying to explain media to people is like trying to explain water to a fish. Because we live in the environment, and it affects everything. It affects it's not the content that matters. It's the way that the media changes the way our human relationships with each other. And
well, prior to having like a spiritual understanding or practice, like when I was younger in the 80s and I thought we were going to be bombed by Russia and, you know, nuked out, like I was always stressed out and I was like, this is horrible. And now, even though we're going through something I think as equally horrible, I'm like calmer because I'm like, well, I now have like a greater spiritual understanding that I've had past lives and that I will have future lives. And so I'm not as in a hysteria about it, because 10 years ago, I'd be hysterical if this was happening now.
Yeah. And again, like what we're doing here at the podcast, you know, we're meeting on this medium and sharing this knowledge with the world. It's remarkable. And again, what you see that changes, it's not the content so much. It's just the fact that we can do this that mm-hmm. really makes the difference. And one of the side effects, as you see, is that the method of control through fear is not going to happen anymore. Our mm-hmm. children's children are not going to know leaders like Trump or Putin. They're not going to be there they because the media changes and that mm-hmm. they allow a different... Different, and if I can just digress a little bit, there's different tarot cards, right? Right now, mm-hmm. You can get like Star Trek tarot cards, kitten tarot cards, but most follow the Rider-Waite deck, and that was established 100 years ago by the Golden Dawn Society, you know. And in that deck, there's they're very similar cards, still the same card deck. But in 1930s and into the 40s, Aleister Crowley and Harris, they saw a new world and a new need for the tarot to match the changes that are happening in this world.
Mm.
And that's the tarot deck I use. I use this. Mm. It's called the Thoth tarot. Thoth was the Egyptian god who gave reading and writing to humanity. Thoth, and mm-hmm. it's Thoth. Oh,
mm.
That's the deck I use, this card, this deck. And the Rider-Waite, the main, there are some key differences. And one of the key difference is that the old deck has a king, and this new deck has no king. And that really speaks to me because we're moving into an age where there are no kings. There's no Trumps. There's no Putins. We're not. There was a time when we died for king and country, and it was all fear-based control. And that age is ending, and that's why we're getting so much violence right now, because
those kings are holding on, right?
They're holding on to their power as hard as they can. We see it most vividly in the Muslim world, where the leaders are still, they're just based on just raw fear to control.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of knowledge, and that's the old tarot deck is not that, to me it's still valid, but it's I think the Thoth will be the endearing deck as we go forward. And my little appeal, I could say this, if anybody's out there looking for a new deck, I really recommend this particular, the new Millennium Thoth Tarot deck. It's by Renalta Lechner. And I can honestly say I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without this deck. It's very, very new feeling, looking, and there's no king. The Thoth Tarot deck, and that really speaks to me, because I feel it in my bones that this age is beginning right now. And we're at the end of the old age, and this new beginning age, the main thing that's going to be gone is that fear and that control, and primarily male control, power, fear that is established that way. And that's going to change even our conception of God, because that's fundamental, you know. And the mean, the vindictive, that version of the old man of God. If I can just use an example here, I used to go to a church with my parents. I was raised in quite a Catholic environment, and Ukrainian, very strong that way. But the church that I used to go to as a little boy, it was since it's been knocked down and rebuilt. But on the roof of the church was a fresco of an old man with burning eyes and a beard flowing in the wind and a finger pointing down at the congregation. Uh-huh. Like this. When you looked up there, it was frightening. It was just like that. That conception is the old conception, and that's changing. That's fundamentally changing. And I see it in all ways around the globe right now. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, well, I really hope so. I mean, I'm gonna hang on to that.
It's not for our world. It's the next world. Our children's children's children. It takes slow. And unfortunately, because when ages end, you bring out the worst in the old age. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with like the age of Aquarius dawning and the astral planes, so those kind of things.
Only from that song from the movie, Hair.
Well, on the first day of spring for the last 2,000 years, the sun has been rising in Pisces. That's why we've left the age of Pisces, but the last 2,000 years, Pisces is a male sign, and at the end of any age, you come up with the worst aspects of that sign. The last 150 years, and it's a very slow movement of the Earth, but it's a tilt. The Earth has a tilt like this, and it's rotating like this, right? But there's a slow backward movement of the Earth, and that makes what we call the precession of the equinox. And the Egyptians knew this. We've only discovered this in the last 20 years as our society, the fact that the Earth is spinning another direction backwards. And so that makes when the solstice happens in spring, it's this, the constellation behind the rising sun has been Pisces. And in 2012, that's my sort of time, when the axis changed just enough so that Aquarius is now behind the sun on the first day of spring. And then interestingly, that's the same thing as the Aztec calendar, because they predicted the end of the age, or the end of the world, but not the end of the world, right. End of the age as 2012.
Wow, what does that mean? Like the end of the age. Now that we're with Aquarius, what does that mean?
Well, it's the end of the age of Pisces.
Okay.
And you know, it's not an accident that the Christian age is known for the fish. That's not
Oh.
and what was the agent previous to that? That was the ram, the you know that. And if you turn it back the clock all the time, you can see that the age of Leo was the Sphinx is pointing directly east to the rising sun, and that puts the ages the Sphinx probably about 23,000 years old at least, if it was built for that particular moment. And you know the pyramids are aligned with the Orion's belt, and as the Earth does this slow wobble backwards, those stars align with the pyramids too. They go up and down, and this is recently discovered too, that the stars in Orion's belt, I forget the name of them, one's Betelgeuse, the mass of those stars exactly matches the mass of those pyramids, not by a little bit. The way there's a small period, the moon, the queen, the king, the major pyramid, and the other one, they match the stars exactly, and the same with the angle of them is exactly how the pyramids are laid out.
Okay, so
Bringing that
interesting.
stuff, as we're moving to this new
Yeah.
age, it's lining up exactly. Yeah, so we.
Look, Corey, do you know what I'm holding?
Is that a Mayan calendar?
That's the Mayan calendar that I got when I went to Peru. Corey and I were supposed to go together, and she couldn't go, and I went to Machu Picchu. But, we did the walk through the jungle for 3 days, the hiking, and all of these structures were out in the middle of nowhere that you're like, how on earth did these people get out here, and where did they go? Huge structures, and then you get to Machu Picchu, and everything is lined up exactly. It's crazy how they were able to do that. And I think that that started me on this whole thing of we're not here just for this lifetime, and that people have we've gone in advanced society, then we became not so advanced, and then back to more advanced, and the stuff that they did back in those mountains, those stones, I was up in these ruins, right, that were barely ruins. They were still they had been constructed hundreds of years earlier, and there were handholds, when you went around the corner. It was crazy. I've never seen anything like it in my life, and I just kept wondering, and I spent a lot of time alone because I would run ahead of the group. I didn't want to be near anyone. And I was just out there, who came up with this idea? Let's hike into the mountains and get gigantic rocks and turn, and the way they constructed it, it was the most perfect engineering you could ever imagine. It was so crazy. There was no space even, and that's what they show you, to slide a piece of paper between these rocks. And it's like, we always just think we're the best or we're the greatest. And it's right? You look back and it's like, wow, a lot has happened in this world that's almost unexplainable.
Yeah, for sure. And it shows you that humanity is very cyclical. And so we're at one of those points right now where the world is changing, and not just the and you see, another analogy would be like, say, 2,000 years ago when Jesus was walking the earth, your average person didn't know that the world was going to change. They were living their typical life, going to the Roman Colosseum and watching the races and doing what they did. They didn't know that a significant change was about to happen to all of our lives, and brought in by the Christ, of course.
Wow. This is absolutely fascinating. I mean, and it actually gives me a great sense of peace. To kind of have a bigger understanding of what's kind of going on around us, and
It's hard. And again, I congratulate the two of you on sharing this through this new medium. Your own feeling is, I'm sure a lot of people are feeling exactly the same things. They just don't know how to articulate them yet. And when you articulate them, when you say them, again, it feels good. You know, like say Freud's psychoanalysis, it just was a miracle that if you could just say the word for what you were feeling, it would somehow make it better. And language has that power.
Exactly. Well, I know that one of the things we talked about at the very beginning was kind of, this maybe the possibility of doing a little reading of sorts for Tracy and I, just simply because we feel like we are really connected in this space. I mean, we see that, as you're talking about the world, the earth, the spiritual plane is going through a transformation, and there's something that's been really kind of cathartic and therapeutic about sort of going on this journey with Tracy through this as well and our friendship. And so I don't know if you ever do like joint things where you can kind of see like, do we intersect at some point? We've been told we've had past lives. Do we intersect moving forward? What is our kind of joint purpose? Do we have that? Or is it more like individual kinds of readings that you do?
Okay, well, let's just see what the cards have to say here.
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
See.
Start you with Corey. Sorry for the delay here. I just need to. Well, Corey, I'm seeing that in your past, you have been very much there's a warrior in your background. You were very you were part of the royalty, kind of horse regiment, if I can say that. Which only, you know, old, not a foot soldier. You were full on in the army in terms of its leadership. And your lives crossed paths because you were the serious one and you needed somebody who wasn't quite so serious as you.
Ah, that's me.
I'm seeing that. And the relationship you had was what I'm seeing it in the past life. It was, you know, past lives can be in different genders, right?
Genders. Yep.
I'm seeing that you're both in this particular incarnation that I'm looking at right now. It was both males.
Wow.
But yeah, you've shared an interesting. That's maybe not the only past life that you've shared in, but because that happens very often, you get reborn into a similar incarnation that wants to sort out problems that were unresolved in past lives. So if I can just extrapolate a little bit what I'm seeing here. Is that the purpose of your current relationship is to learn to accept each other and your differences that somehow pulled you apart in that life that you lived before. It's interesting that you'd be incarnated, well, you incarnated as females in this life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Perhaps maybe to more, yeah, I'd say that helps here to try again so that your relationship doesn't fall apart like it did in that life. You were just two different people in that life, but you became very close.
Well, so we were both male. Is this when I was in the Royalty Horse Regiment, or what were our roles or time period that we showed up?
Let me just see there. Well, it was very much, again, it's just time's tough. I'm seeing this as sometime in European background, I would say in maybe the 1300s. Where there was definite class differences, although you belonged to the same court, you were different, two different classes of people, and your relationship was based on sort of like Corey. You were very tense. You were very not happy with life, depressed, and Tracy helped you through that. She was your savior to help you start to see the world in a good way. It changed your attitude and helped you spiritually. I'm seeing quite a lot of spirituality between the two of you. The combining, especially Tracy, Corey, for you, like your seriousness and your sort of, you were a total fighter and deadly on the battlefield from what I can see. And you just, that left you empty and hollow, and you forgot how to laugh. And Tracy made you laugh, made you start to see the sunshine with more beauty. But again, there was something happened. You were told, sorry, Corey. Again, I'll tell you what I see here. You were being led down. You were being controlled by something that was not right, and you knew it. You were doing things that you shouldn't have been doing, and it's Tracy who helped you through that. Helped you free yourself from that control of the dark side, if I will say so.
Wow.
And so between the two of your souls, there's a very much a healing and a process that helped a lot of different people, including yourselves. That's what I see.
Well, did I do anything for her, or is it all kind of one-sided in this life?
Yeah, hello, it's one-sided.
Well, yeah. You gave her confidence. You gave Tracy, she didn't have confidence in herself. And you showed her how to be confident, and how that power would work through her life. And she became, again, there was the two souls needed each other to complement each other. I see that Tracy was just, she got more serious, more focused, more confident about her mission in life.
Oh.
And her purpose, yeah.
Do you see anything about it? You said that we had some kind of a disconnect of sorts. Do you know anything about what caused that?
Okay. Well, what I'm seeing in that particular life, Corey, is that you were too serious, and you need to make enough adjustments in your life, and so that's what you quarreled about. Yeah, and also what I'm seeing is just the nature of the relationship in terms of the society at that time. You were really living in different worlds, and so that the what brought you together was unusual, but again needed for both of you, and it was the society that perhaps couldn't take it. You know, that's possibly, like, again, what I see here is there was enough forces around you. It wasn't necessarily the two of you that weren't accepting each other, but it was like the society couldn't accept it. The friendship and the relationship that you had was not accepted by society, and primarily Tracy, you're the one who pulled away, not Tracy.
Wait, who pulled away, me or Corey?
Corey.
Oh, I pulled away. Okay.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Wow.
And you didn't develop it. So, in my humble opinion here, I'm saying that you've been reincarnated in this particular generation in this form to rediscover that, or to make somehow that karma right.
Well, I believe that.
Yeah. So that's me not pulling away in this life. Is that what?
Yes, that would be the main thing. Yeah, I'd say that, yeah. Cause,
wow.
And,
Well.
Yeah. So you're like I said, you gave Tracy a lot of confidence in herself and all that, but you couldn't keep it together.
Mm-hmm.
You're too focused on your privilege, let's say, and your status and duty.
Mm-hmm. We need to get wow, this is so fascinating. I totally am. This is tracking a lot, Marv, like a lot.
Yeah. We're going to have to go process this.
I know. Well, we need to have more. But
dynamic together. I can see that. There was definitely a cosmic union between the two of you in that particular incarnation.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, although this is something that is more just logic than, say, psychic, but I would consider the two of you, yeah, for sure. But why are you together? There's a reason. Everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the reason is to just some broken karma in a past life that needs to be fixed in this life. You get a second chance, if you will.
Mm. Wow.
Sometimes second, third chance. Like I say, some past life. I mean, we've all been reincarnated a lot. There's mm-hmm. very few of us that are transcendent, although there's more transcendent people being born now, and I see in my readings mm-hmm. more and more these days where people are, this is their last time on mm-hmm. this earth.
That's what I want to be. My last time on this earth, and now, unfortunately, I want to hear way more, but I have to go to my paying job or I'm going to get fired.
Okay.
Marv, we want to have you back on at some point and have more like these like larger conversations, because this has been so incredibly cool. Mm-hmm. Like I could just listen to you for hours, which is probably what I'm going to do, turn on your podcast. But we really appreciate having you on. We'll circle back around and make sure that we connect again, because this has been so helpful. I think our listeners are going to absolutely love this episode. I'll make sure to put a bunch of links in the show notes of some of the things you talked about and ways to, can people get in touch with you and do readings over Zoom and things like that?
Yeah, I have a pretty thriving online business, online readings. Let's see, universe, I can send you the links, but I have a booking site on my psychic site. Also, if people are interested in my music, you can go to my music site.
And I want to say, your energy, just for our listeners who are interested in a tarot reading, like your energy is so calming. Like you're super, like I felt so, at peace with you here.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, fantastic. We are going to put your contact info. People can listen to your music. They can listen to your podcast. They can connect with you for readings, and we'll make sure that they know how to get in touch with you. And we will be back in touch tomorrow.
Same for you, Austin. I'll put it on my social channels, a link to back to your site here, and people can listen to this podcast that are in my circle too. So, and hopefully, I'm sure you speak to many, many people. So.
Oh, yeah.
And, awesome.
Love that. So, well, thank you again so much for being with us. And thank you to all our listeners out there. And until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship, and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.